News from NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, January 18th, 2006. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, ag trade officials agree the next federal budget will make further cuts in agriculture, but just how much is up for debate. Also, add Singapore to the growing list of nations reopening borders to U.S. beef. And an update from Louisiana, where labor remains scarce in the wake of Katrina. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will be by to give us the early call on 2006 corn and soybean acres. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this. Kansas City March wheat, 372 and three quarters, down 2.5. March wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 322 and a half, down 6.25. May, 333 and a half, down 5.25. March corn, 205 and three quarters, down 3. May, 215 and a half, down 2.75. July, 224 and a quarter, down 3. September, 233, down 2.5. March soybeans, 565 and three quarters, down 5.5. May, 574 and three quarters, down 6. July, 584 and a half, down 5.25. November, 594 and a half, down 6. March soybean meal, 177.50, down 2.80. March soybean oil at 21.16, down 6. On the Merck, January feeder cattle, 111.77 and a half, down 50. February live cattle, 96.07 and a half, down 47 and a half, and then February lean hogs, 58.15, down 132 and a half. Join us this evening at the Elks Club in Pontiac for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be there beginning at 7 o'clock. Panelists for this meeting include Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. That's at the Elks Club in Pontiac this evening at 7 o'clock. Bring your questions. Get your particular marketing information that you need for your marketing decisions, and we do indeed hope to see you there. Right now, though, we hope to hear on the telephone Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave. A beautiful 35, 36 degree temperature out here in a beautiful east central Illinois this afternoon.
Chicago Board of Trade today, Paul, very light volume, but despite that, we saw soy, wheat, and corn all break some support levels today. What was going on?
Well, you know, yesterday was a wheat close in corn. We saw the corn gap through the 40-day moving average at 208.5 on the March futures contract. Basically said, we do have enough corn based on the USDA's last Thursday's USDA supply-demand report. The weather looks fairly normal in the world, and as a result of that, prices gave way. We also saw the trend change from bullish to bearish in the wheat market, and the soybeans have basically plummeted about 70 cents a bushel in here. Sellers, 7,000 contracts in corn, about 3,000 to 4,000 contracts of wheat, and about 2,000 contracts of soybeans sold today.
Looks like in the soy we went through support at 566.5. The wheat went through support at 324. I guess let's look at some particulars in the corn. Anything that would make you believe that we would not eventually test 204 and then 199 and a half?
No, I think that those parameters have a good chance of being tested. A couple things. We know that the general early war cry here is 1 to 2 million acres, so smaller corn production, acreage planted next year. We know the farmer is sitting on a mountain of corn. We do know that the values as far as freight is concerned are still very expensive to move corn and soybeans to the Gulf and to the West Coast. So it looks like to me it's going to be a challenge to move this pile of commodity corn into the marketplace. Our general feeling is that the next monumental direction change will sometime in March, when we could see some shift with the acreage larger than the 1 to 2 million acreage being talked about by the commodity trade.
Looking at December corn, it went through its 50-day moving average today, and it looks like it appears heading to a December 9 test at 237 and three quarters. Paul, what does the smart hedger do about all of this bearishness at the Chicago Board of Trade?
Well, when there is a trend change, we did notice a couple of things. Some increase of marketing yesterday, some people buying some nearby puts in the marketplace, and generally a reluctance of anyone to protect themselves on the long side of the marketplace. The corn market, particularly in the new crop, does have a large window of trade clear into the summer time frame, and a lot of things can happen. One thing that's generally being talked about when we have conversations with our customers is that if there would be some acreage change, it will be more in the Dakotas, Nebraska irrigated areas, and of course the western U.S. Our company meeting in San Antonio, Texas over the weekend, as we were flying across the big Midwest and western part of the U.S., you can see the tremendous dry conditions. And one of the things that's being talked about is the very large expense of running those big center pivot irrigating machines. And with low water supplies, that's also a factor.
We did see today that USDA confirmed the sale of 117,200 tons of corn to El Salvador, 110,000 tons to South Korea, but we need to see a lot more of that, I would think, to turn this trend around.
One of the best ways to cure the mountain of corn problem is exports. And a weak dollar, low transportation costs, and basically shutting or getting China out of selling corn at cheap values would be a wonderful situation to occur. We're not seeing any of those things, and the marketplace, we are seeing some traditionally good markets to Mexico and, as you mentioned, Ecuador, which is a small buyer of corn. So it's cheap prices should cure the problem, but it's not curing it fast enough.
Just 2 weeks ago, March soybeans was up over $6.30, and producers shut the doors thinking $7 might be in the card. But now we're looking at the possibility at $5.53, the November 28th low in the March contract. What does one do when you're looking at this price decline?
Well, a couple things. There was a lot of cash beans moved, and unfortunately, our indications and surveys indicate only about half the supply of beans moved into the marketplace. Unfortunately, the think tank people like Informa is saying, over a 600 million carryover for soybeans out there. The USDA did come out with a 505 million bushel carryover. The big part of the growing season is still ahead of us and growing in South America. Unfortunately, it seems like every time we turn around, Brazil's offering cheap beans into the world market as well. Rust could change some of the equation, as well as some dry weather, but it, near as we can tell, the meteorologist that we have the most confidence in looks like it's a very kind growing season down in South America. Also, the equation is we're looking for 1 to 3 million more soybean acres, at least 2 to 3 million more soybean acres grown here in the U.S.
And let's go over to the Merck real quick and get your analysis of the lean hog pit, I guess. Discount to cash finally catching up?
The hog situation is very clear in the fact that we do have some competing meats out in the world. Of course, beef being one, chickens and hogs. It is profitable for a pack or two slaughter hogs. It's been a little sluggish here. The other factor that we're looking at is that the total competitive supply of meats is very tough. I think the packer has been a reluctant buyer in here, and I think that's been one of the major factors in the price slide in the bellies and also the flat price in hogs.
Paul, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Yes, and have a nice afternoon and a safe trip to Pontiac.
Thank you. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will be joining us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's Mike Solas forecasts for Illinois and Indiana tonight. Variable cloudiness from clear in western Illinois to mostly cloudy in eastern Indiana. Lows ranging from 24 in northern Illinois to 36 in the far south. Then tomorrow in the north, mostly cloudy. In southern and central sections, partly sunny. Highs ranging from 44 in northeastern Illinois to 60 degrees in southwestern Illinois. In agricultural news, Singapore's Agri-Food and Veterinary Authority, or AVA, said Tuesday it's taking steps to end the country's two-year-old ban on imports of U.S. beef. The authority says it's currently finalizing the operational details of the health certification program with USDA so beef trade with the U.S. can resume as soon as possible. According to an AVA statement, deboned beef cuts from cattle younger than 30 months of age will be allowed into Singapore. Meanwhile, a Japanese animal laboratory has successfully infected three cattle with mad cow disease in an experiment aimed at developing a method of early detection for BSE. British scientists have succeeded in similar experiments. The Bush administration is sending signals that the 2007 budget will make further cuts in agricultural funding. President Bush will send Congress his budget request for fiscal year 2007 in 3 weeks. Potential ag cuts are not surprising to the National Corn Growers Association. Public Policy Director Sam Willett says deficit pressures have increased despite planned cuts to the current fiscal year budget.
The White House and the Congress are both under pressure to reduce the size of the federal deficit, which I understand will reach about $400 billion for this year.
The House is expected to complete action soon on $2.7 billion in farm spending cuts for the current fiscal year as part of a larger deficit reduction package, and then move on to fiscal year 2007 spending. President Bush originally called for $9 billion in farm spending cuts in fiscal year 2006. An American Farm Bureau Federation policy specialist, Pat Wolf, says she expects agriculture will have to expect further funding cuts if President Bush is going to achieve his goal of cutting the deficit in half by 2010.
Said that he wants to cut the deficit in half over the next 5 years, and he has restated his support for that goal recently. So there's no reason to believe that anything has changed. Money is tight in order to reduce the deficit, spending cuts have to be made, and agriculture will probably be called upon to chip in.
Still, Willett says budget pressures may be balanced by political considerations, driven by the November congressional elections.
Because it is an election year, I tend to think that it will be very, very difficult to advance any additional mandatory program cuts. I do expect it to be another lean year for discretionary funding, but in terms of Congress coming back and asking for another budget reconciliation package, I think the prospects of that happening are very, very small.
But Wolf is not so sure. Wolf says the president will likely continue to call for permanent capital gains cuts, estate tax elimination, and other tax relief in his State of the Union address. USDA says the U.S. Department of Energy will soon start sequencing the soybean genome as part of the agency's comprehensive energy strategy. Since the soybean is the principal source of biodiesel, USDA says the soybean genome is especially interesting to DOE. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service will travel to 5 cities to conduct critical food defense exercises as part of its effort to protect the nation's food supply from terrorist attack. According to USDA, each 2-day program will focus on reporting non-routine incidents, managing an emergency, product recall, public health, and communication issues. The first exercise begins today in Alameda, California. A southern Louisiana cattle producer says labor and transportation shortages continue to plague producers in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. Daniel Lyons says there's simply not enough people to work on infrastructure issues.
We've got a lot of problems. We've got fences to be built. Some of this will take a long time for these people to build fences because they have to do it themselves, and the labor's not there. FEMA's come in here and paying high price, you know, big labor salaries for these people to go work for them, so they're not working for us. We had sugarcane crop in the field, couldn't get any trucks to haul it because the trucks were making more money hauling trash.
One lesson Lyons says he's learned is not to count on quick government help in the aftermath of a major natural disaster.
The thing that people need to realize when these disasters happen, especially a hurricane, when the wind stopped blowing, we've got to jump into action. We had to go find these cattle. We had to pin them up, get them off the highways, find places to put them. And the government agencies that can help us just take too long to react.
Lyons says transportation has become such a large problem that Louisiana cattlemen are asking the National Guard to transport hay. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri-Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
USDA's winter wheat seedings report shows an increase in 2006 acres sown to the crop. Todd Gleason files this report on the potential impact that may have on corn and soybean acreage.
Well, U.S. farmers have sown more acres to winter wheat. The acreage figure released January 12th by USDA shows a 2% increase. Total winter wheat acreage now stands at an expected 41.4 million acres. The breakdown by class, 29.9 million to hard red winter wheat, 7.3 million to soft red winter wheat, and 4.2 million to white wheat. The report shows an interesting distribution of the increase. The total hard red winter wheat acres are actually down from last year. Even so, it's important to note the corn growing states of Kansas and Texas have increased hard red winter wheat seedings. That, along with the large increase, up 19% in the soft red winter wheat seedings, should have an impact on how many acres are planted to corn and soybeans this spring, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good.
A relatively modest increase in winter wheat seedings of less than 1 million acres from what was really a low number last year, particularly soft red winter wheat. So That million acres obviously has to come out of something, and I think it will reduce the size of the pie that's available for all spring planted crops. Now, how that gets divided up between corn, soybeans, sorghum, spring wheat, those cotton perhaps in the southeast. But it does say there will be a few hundred thousand acres less land available for planting corn and soybeans. And then we'll start arguing about how that shift may take place between corn and soybeans. But the total acreage of the two should likely be down a bit in 2006.
USDA reports the biggest increases for soft red winter wheat seedings are in Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, all prime corn and soybean growing states, along with a record planting level in Wisconsin. Illinois farmers planted about one-third more acres to soft red winter wheat last fall than they did in the previous growing season. Even so, that 860,000 acres is below the 2004 seeding rate. Iowa's winter wheat seedings were up, too, at 125% of last year. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Dave.
It's hard to believe, but it was just 2.5 weeks ago when beans were over $6.30. And some producers were saying we were just a dry spell in South America away from $7 and points north. How quickly times have changed.
It certainly has changed. And, of course, I was never an advocate of $7 beans, but quite an advocate of selling $6 plus beans. Old and new crop and $2 and $2.25 new crop corn. So, you know, a lot of them took advantage of it, a lot of them didn't, and this market's been hurt really, really badly, and there's no doubt that report that came out Thursday is extremely bearish, just not a lot of bullish factors at all. The only bullish factor is low prices, naturally, and the index funds might possibly come back in and buy, but the bean market I'm more concerned about than corn. The planting intentions could change all the factors in the corn market and maybe dry weather, but beans, it looks pretty bleak.
We saw that dealers in Indiana raised their bean bids by as much as 6 cents per bushel today. Were you among them?
No, the southeast basis has not improved that much, maybe just a tad, but corn values have just fallen totally out of bed, and even the spring and summer month corn values, as far as trains are concerned, has dropped about a nickel just in the last couple of days. So we haven't seen a lot of improvement on the rail level like we have on the truck processor bids.
So what are farmers needing to see cash prices improve by in order to let something go? 5 to 8 cents, something along that line?
Well, of course, their immediate thoughts right now, you always want to go back and see the previous high. So right now they're still looking at $2 corn and $6 beans. So as time goes along, depending on their cash needs and how much they've already got sold, they may lower those sights. But for right now, that's what they're looking at, Dave.
What about your prices today, Kay?
Our cash corn today is $187, beans are $5.40, and new crop wheat is $3.18.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. And in just about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich used his State of the State address today to promote a construction plan he says would create 230,000 jobs. Blagojevich called on lawmakers to approve a $3.2 billion plan for new roads, mass transit, and schools. Republican State Senator Dale Ryder of Mattoon questions how the plan would be paid for. But Democratic State Representative Naomi Jacobson of Urbana says she's confident Blagojevich will have more specifics in his budget address next month. The governor also proposed a $1,000 annual tax credit for freshmen and sophomores attending college in Illinois. Students would need to keep a B average or better to get the tax break. He made no mention of what that plan would cost. Blagojevich also proposed a program to give all veterans access to health care and called for reinstatement of the assault weapons ban. Agriculture was not mentioned in the 39-minute State of the State address. The city of Champaign now has new penalties for minors possessing tobacco. The city council voted 8-1 last night to place a $145 fine on anyone under 18 seen with tobacco products. Mayor Jerry Schweihart proposed the penalties as an alternative to a smoking ban in restaurants and bars. The CU Smoke-Free Alliance, which supports such a ban, says the penalties for minors don't address the real problem. But City Councilman Tom Bruno says the penalties are a good start towards an eventual ban on smoking in public places. Indiana Senator Richard Lugar is running for a sixth term. The 73-year-old Republican filed for re-election today. Democratic Party officials say they're sure someone will challenge Lugar, but no one has filed yet. A truck driver from Louisiana was found dead last night in the cab of his semi-tractor trailer parked in the shoulder of I-57 near Monticello. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrop says an autopsy is scheduled today in the death of 54-year-old Michael Welch of Winnsboro. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I suppose we ought to put in a plug at this point for the Allendale Conference up at McHenry College. Both you and I will be there on Saturday.
We're going to have fun, aren't we?
Well, we're going to learn about your accuracy, and we're going to find out whether or not I can be a good leader of the conference.
Yeah. We're both in trouble, aren't we?
I think we may be. Let's try out and see if we can do better with the weather, where it looks like we're seeing some possibilities of rain on a daily basis in southern Brazil.
Absolutely. All of those dry areas from Paraguay and southernmost parts of Mato Grosso do Sul through Paraná and portions of Rio Grande do Sul are set right now to see rain occur daily from now through this time next week, and we're going to end up with 1 to 4 inches of rainfall at least, and some areas will probably get more than that. This will put to bed the last area in South America that is critically dry, and the end result, of course, will be crop improvements. We'll likely see some return of yield potential in some of these areas that haven't been extremely dry for terribly long. We have lost some production potential in other areas, but most likely this is a well-timed event since reproduction is getting underway and will continue for the next few weeks. So this is a very, very important rain event.
Any dry areas expected to be missed?
At this point in Brazil and Paraguay, no. We do have some new areas of drying that are evolving in northern parts of Brazil, but the odds are extremely good at this point that timely rains will occur up there in about a week to 10 days from now. So we'll get to the point where we're stressing the crops a little bit up there, but it will not become an issue, and we will see rains come on at the perfect time. In Argentina, there is still a dry pocket in the southwest corner of the country. Now, this is mostly corn and sunseed country. The crops there are stressed at the moment. They missed out on a lot of the rain that occurred in Argentina last week. This is La Pampa in southwestern Buenos Aires, and they will probably not see a good rain until possibly Tuesday of next week. And even that event right now is a little questionable as to whether or not it will hold together. So Argentina in general will be trending drier as we go forward in the next week to 10 days. And maybe by the time we get to the end of this month, we'll start talking a little bit about it being a little bit too dry in some spots once again. But for the next 10 days, we'll be coasting on that rain that fell last weekend.
A number of fast-moving storms forecast for the Midwest?
Absolutely. We're certainly seeing a repetitive pattern here as well. These storm systems seem to be focused on the eastern part of the Midwest. Really, the east half of the Corn Belt at this point is favorably to abundantly moist. We still have an ongoing dryness issue in the west, though, especially in Nebraska and Iowa, northwestern and west central sections of Illinois, still carrying some rather impressive subsoil moisture deficits. And it does not look like they're going to go away anytime soon. We are looking at an opportunity for a little bit of snowfall periodically as we go through the next couple of weeks, but I don't think there's going to be much moisture content in that. We'll still be waiting for some kind of a big change to take place in order to bring the needed moisture there.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. See you Saturday. Drew Lerner, Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets at Central Time. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather on our website. Go to WILL.UIUC.EDU, click on AM on the left-hand side of the page, and Agriculture on the right. This is Dave Dickey.
Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Scott Moe of A.G. Edwards in Champaign is on the phone with us now to bring us up to date on what's happening on Wall Street. Scott?
Major stock averages are under pressure today following disappointing earnings by technology bellwether Intel. The Dow is lower for the fourth straight day. Yahoo and Google are also dragging on technology stocks today. Yahoo's earnings fell short of expectations, and Google was downgraded to a sell rating by Standard & Poor's. However, IBM is lending some support to the Dow. Its earnings were better than forecast. Energy stocks are lower as the price of crude retreated from its earlier highs. Federal Reserve Beijing Book survey released today suggests an increase in manufacturing and employment helped the U.S. economy expand in the final week of 2005. Currently, New York advanced decline is 3-2 negative on issues and volume. The Dow Jones Industrials are currently at 10,847. That's down 48 points on volume of just over 1.4 billion shares trading hands. Transports are at 41.28. That's up 37. Utilities are unchanged at 421. And the NASDAQ's off 23 at 2279. Currently, we have 1,292 advancing issues, 2,004 declining with 154 issues unchanged on the day. On the interest rate front, the February bond closed at 114.75. That was down an eighth, bringing a long bond yield to a 4.51. Oil closed at $65.80. It was up 7 cents a barrel, and the London Afton Gold Fix closed at $545 an ounce. That was down $8.25. Once again, the Dow Jones Industrials are currently near the lows of the day. We're at 10,847. That's down 48 points on the day. This is Scott Moe with A.G. Edwards in Champaign. Have a good afternoon.
Today's programming is made possible in part by grants from 10,000 villages in downtown Champaign and Crossroads Global Handcrafts, 428 North Main in Bloomington, offering ground and whole bean coffee purchased from farmers using internationally recognized fair trade standards.
Asteroid, blasteroid, on this Moment of Science. You may have heard of the close call we had in 1987 when a half-mile-wide asteroid missed the Earth by a measly 6 orbital hours. Had that asteroid hit the ground, it would have probably kicked up enough dust to darken the skies for months or years, making the planet dangerously cold. If it hit the water, vast tidal waves would have resulted. But it didn't hit us, so are we safe now? Not really. Let's look at the facts. We currently know where about 1% of the millions of asteroids in our solar system are. That's trouble, because the first thing you need to survive an asteroid collision is knowledge of when it's coming. In cosmic terms, the Earth is hit all the time.